go to Joseph in Tempe, Arizona now.
Yes. My question is, it was concerning life of grace in a soul. If they're in mortal sin, God just shuts them off, or we shut ourselves off and there's no life of grace. That's what I was understanding that your point was. I don't really believe that God is limited to that. So I was just calling for an explanation.
He's not limited to what?
To rules and regulations and being perfect in the church, because the church is a hospital for the sick, not a banquet for the Pharisees. And so I just feel like we had to jump through so many hoops in the church today rather than just experience the life of grace and talking about the life of grace and having the life of grace overflow in us. And so when I hear something like somebody's in mortal sin, you know, then it shuts God off of your life, sends you directly to hell. I mean, you miss Mass on Sunday or whatever. You're in mortal sin. You got to go to confession and follow all those hoops and norms and mores of the community. It just doesn't sound right. And so I'm calling for an explanation.
Sure. I'd be happy to. Really, your objections don't lie with the Catholic Church, but with Jesus, because Jesus is the one who, for example, established the sacrament of confession. John chapter 20, beginning in, you can begin reading in verse 20. He says, the apostles, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And you might say, well, how did the Father send Jesus? He sent him to forgive sins. And he breathes on them, we're told, and says, receive the Holy Spirit. He who sins you forgive are forgiven them. He who sins you retain or hold bound are held bound. So, I mean, if you want to argue with Jesus, go ahead. Good luck. But Jesus established the sacrament for the forgiveness of sin. In 1 John chapter 5, St. John says, and keep in mind, he learned the gospel directly from Jesus. And he says, all wrongdoing is sin, but there is some sin that is not deadly. So he's talking there about mortal sin. He learned this from Jesus. I mean, I could go on and multiply countless examples to show that what I regard to be your sort of minimalist, let's just think happy thoughts and think about the love of God's grace and all that. Well, that's great for those who can do it, but most people are sinners, Joseph. I suspect you probably are too. And when you fall into sin, you either have to get out of sin and be restored to God's grace, or you remain in sin. And Jesus also said, unless you repent, you will all perish. So if you are objecting to Jesus's plan of salvation and the way in which he desires to help people get out of sin, then your argument's not with the Catholic Church, it's with him. Because the Catholic Church teaches those aspects as well as all the other aspects, and it's not reducible simply to happy thoughts and the love of God and all that. That's good and true, but it's not the entire truth. There's more to it than just that.
I think there's more to the entire truth than just following hoops and just going to confession. Although, of course, we're all sinners. Of course, we all fall short of the glory of God, the glory that provides miracles, signs, and wonders for the church mm-hmm. today. Those are given for the edification of the body and building up of the church. And I think those are given, actually, even if somebody is in sin. So the idea that we have to be perfect in order for God's grace to work in us for the church is absurd. Now, I'm not arguing with Jesus about...
Well, you realize, of course, the Catholic Church does not teach that you have to be perfect for God's grace to be in you. It doesn't teach that.
As my understanding, that you said that the life of grace is no longer flowing in a person with mortal sin.
Yeah, I did say that, but I didn't say what you just said, which is that you have to be perfect in order for God's grace to be in you.
You know, I think my point was that, you know, the initial, I mean, I'm not attacking you, Patrick. I'm attacking a deception that might be out there for the church.
And what deception is that?
God works regardless of what kind of norms and mores we have. Now, I'm not arguing with Jesus because I believe in the absolution, confession, you know, that we have in our faith, the richness of our faith.
Fair enough. So where's the sticking point then? Because I got the impression pretty clearly that you did object to those aspects of the church's teaching, but now I'm happy to hear that you don't. Where is there a difference?
What I'm arguing is the fact that God doesn't shut off his grace to us because we have sinned.
Well, that's true. That's true, because if he did, we'd all be doomed because we all sin. Every one of us does. If God's grace was shut off permanently after you fell into sin, we would all be doomed. Nobody could ever go to heaven. So the fact that God's grace is always the free gift that he's extending to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in it would not perish but have eternal life. This is a free gift of God's grace that's there for the taking. Not everybody accepts it. Some people throw it away after they've accepted it. I mean, that's the foundation of the gospel, is that this is a gift of God's grace, and our sin doesn't shut off that spigot. But maybe you and I are using the word grace in two different ways here, because sanctifying grace is the kind of grace that saves you. Prevenient grace is the kind of grace that offers you this gift, and you could be dead in your sins, and that grace is still there, giving you the gift of forgiveness, but you could still be dead in your sins. But the kind of grace that confession and the Holy Eucharist and the things that Jesus gave to the church to accomplish changes the inner man. You become renewed, you become regenerated, you become born again, beginning with baptism. And without that grace, you go to hell. Maybe that's the problem here, Joseph. Maybe we're just using the word grace in two different ways. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think God is more than semantics, but I also think that, I mean, I want a healthy church, right? I want a church that's going to talk about the life of God and, you know, the love of God and the Trinity, how the Trinity dwells in us. You know, we don't want to hear these things like, hey, you know what, if you sin, you're shut out. You have to follow all these rules.
Nobody wants to hear that, but it's still true, though.
People go to confession, right? And, oh, they're renewed. But you know what? They go to confession the next week, the next day. Are they really renewed? Are they really living in sanctifying grace? Come on. Digging around people that are filled with power, filled with the Holy Ghost, that are going to overcome the sin of within their lives and their minds. What about that sanctifying grace, the sanctifying grace that the Protestants have?
Hey, Joseph, you seem pretty angry all of a sudden. And
I'm not angry. I'm just letting you know there's more to Christianity than the hoops that you want there.
Well, Joseph, I'll put it this way. Those things that you call hoops are teachings from Jesus. I gave you some biblical examples of that. Let me give you a verse that might be worth pondering. Just think about this. Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Proverbs 14:12.